Okay, Rabbi Isai. We shall carry on a little bit further halachas in Siman Lamed Beis. Let us try to reach today, because we're a little bit behind, and we are starting Siman Lamed Beis Sif Tes, and I do hope to reach half Tes Vav. So we'll try to do that, although there's quite a few very interesting halachas in the middle, but let's try to reach it. Okay, the first halach in Sif Tes is the following. Im ibdoi eino Yehudi. So we've spoken about the fact that the ibud, the process of, of the klaf needs to be done lishma. That was a previous Sif. Sif Ches, remember, tzorich haklaf liyus mubud lishma. It needs to be lishma. It needs to be done with the intention of doing it so for the for Safu's purpose. So, the halacha is, what happens if a goy does it? Is that okay? Can a goy do it? Can a goy do the klaf or not? So, the Shulchan Aruch teaches us as follows. Im ibdoi eino Yehudi. If a goy does it, then posel. The klaf is posel. It may look like a beautiful klaf. It may appear like a brilliant klaf. But lemaisa, the klaf is posel for use. Because it's made by a goy. Even if the Yid instructed the goy to do lishmoy, it will not help because ultimately it's processed, it's made by a goy, the klaf is posul. However, according to the Rosh, the klaf is kosher in Israel or Midal Gabov. If the Israel was standing and breathing down his neck, Israel was standing next to him, then the Sion helped him, supported him to some extent. The Ramah says, Ktsas Pe'ibudo, he helped him a little bit. Then the klaf is actually going to be kosher. Rabbi Isai, we learned a similar, very similar indeed, machloikis earlier. That's right, very good. Spot on with regards to tzitzis. With regards to tvia, the spinning of the tzitzis, we had exactly the same machloikis Rosh and Rambam. And it's repeated over here. The tvia that also needs to be done, lishmoy. And we've got the same machlokas Rosh and Rambam there. La halacha, it's generally done by Yid. If it's done by a goy, you need to ensure that Yid does support to some extent. And the Ramah Paskins, v'chenoy again, top of the page, and that is the minig. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Yud. Kshe mesamnin hanekovim b'marzea kei noisios. Indentation. So what often would happen was that it was lots of hides. Some were done by a goy, some were made by a yid, some were done lishmoy, some were not done lishmoy. So you want to have an identification to ensure that this hide is kosher. A bit like equivalent hechsher stamp nowadays. So people would do, they make indentation. And it would make, you make an indentation to show that this actually was done lishmoy. So Shulchan Aruch said in Seif Yud, "Shemesamna nekovim b'marzea kein oisyos." When you'd make those indentations, kein oisyos, like letters, you'd make letter shapes. And bialocha, again, this is a seif that it appears that the bialocha takes the role of the Mishnah over here. Kein oisyos, second wide line. Kedei shalei achlifo ma'akum b'oireis acherim, in order they shouldn't be swapped and changed and by mistake been taken with other hides. The dafke kein oisyos is only if you're making shapes of letters. But certainly, what needs to be done is you need to make shapes of letters on the klaf. If you're making an aleph and a beis, that's what we're discussing here. If you just make a circle or a line, that's not a good heksher. That's not a good indentation. So it needs to be kein oisyos, as the words of Shulchan Aruch teach us. It needs to be kein oisyos, indentation like letters. Afal pisha. Although a goy, without a doubt, he can still change that. He could still copy that. Imagine if you've got a goy who wants to manufacture, he can sell the klaf for much more money. If they're for yidden. He knows about the lishma aloch. What he wants, he just makes an extra stamp. He makes aleph base. He can also cheat. He can also make an aleph and a base and a sign. He can also do that. So nevertheless, it's fine. As long as there's a simon, which is letters, we assume that it's kosher. It's true. A goy could do it as well. But Shulchan Aruch says, Ein choshim, we're not concerned about a goy making letters. משום דמרתס אין יהודי, because a goy is afraid of a yid, פן יקר ישראל בתביעות עין, because a goy may be caught. So if it's a line or circle, he knows my line and my circle is like the yid's line and circle. But once it's letters, the goy is unlikely to do that. The goy is going to feel a little bit, he's going to fear to be caught. So he's not, therefore, if there's letters there, we know that it's a clear identification, that it's hide, that it's a klaf that was done lishmoy. Yes. It doesn't have to be mamash letters, good point. It doesn't have to be mamash letters. If it's similar to a letter, but it mustn't be a simple, it has to be quite a sophisticated, it's quite a shape that has a few parts to it. But generally, from the poskim, it appears that people would actually do letters. Very good point. I must tell you, it's very interesting. I have got a portrait from one of my great-great-grandfathers, and the portrait was done by, it was painted. One of my great-great-grandfathers was Rav, and underneath it, it was common in the previous generations, you'd write down, it was a painting, and underneath you would write Tzuras, Horav, Hagon, Hatzadik, and you would say Av Beis Din, the Kilas Kodesh, all the titles and all the entire name. And it's very interesting that I always looked at it, and I saw that it says Tzuras, Horav, Hagon. It says it's very nice, it's very, very nicely written, but it doesn't look quite right. There's something about it which doesn't look quite right. And I couldn't exactly say what. It doesn't look 100% right. It's very neat. It's very nice. There's not even one spelling mistake. And everything is nice. And the ksav is very nice and neat and mesuda. So once, it was very nice. I mean, you can look at it. But it's something which is not quite right. And we didn't know what. So once, my mother told me that she heard from her mother, from my grandmother, I once spoke to her about it. And she said, actually, it's very interesting because this was actually the painting. Is a copy of a photo which was done Bechayov. The photo was taken Bechayov when he was still alive, but the portrait was made later when he was Nifta, and then the text was added to Asurav Gon. And the one who actually painted it, the painter of the portrait, the one who actually did it, he actually wrote down also the words, and he was actually a goy. Anything from left to right, and he did a goy. But it's very nice. He tried his very, very best. But undoubtedly, if it looks a bit funny, it's because it was actually written by a goy. So this is very much what the Shulchan Aruch says over here, that if you've got Aleph, a goy is not familiar by doing Aleph, even if he's an artist. And therefore, we don't. Once it's on the klaf, there's Aleph, you can assume that it's done by a yid, and that it's kosher. See if you'd Aleph. Oil she'ibdo shaloi lishmoi, oil which was made shaloi lishmoi, with no lishmoi intention, im yesh tikun lachzul abdi lishmoi, as to whether there is a way of changing it and sorting it out, is spoil batur yeridesim and reishain alef. That's discussed in yeridesim and reishain alef, ayin shom, mishnebura and shulchanoch do not discuss it here. Now, see if it pays, very interesting halacha. Yeah, klaf me oir be'eim ochaya ve'oif atoirim. What animal skin can use? What hide can use? What klaf can use? Of which animal? So, can you use of which animals can use? So the halacha is, seifut based. The klaf has to be me oir from skin be'eim ochaya ve'oif atoirim. It must be from a toir animal, from an animal that is kosher that you could eat. But he continues, afilum en nevelu v'treifa shalohem, but it doesn't have to be slaughtered. I mean, it doesn't have to be shechted. It could be an animal which is killed. But the species of the animal has to be an animal which is kosher, which could be kosher, but it doesn't have to be shechted. So afilu even en nevelu treifa shalohem, even if it's nevel and treifa, but it mustn't be from a tomei, from an impure animal. Why is that? The ksiv, because it says in the pasuk, the ksiv, leman tia, in order should be Torah Hashem, the Torah of Hashem beficho in your mouth. Memin from the type, from the speech that muta beficho, which is permitted to eat in your mouth. veloy is something that can be, could be edible in theory. It could be edible. Veloy, however, not me'oir dog. He can't be from skin of fish. Afilu tahor, even if it is pure fish that you're allowed to eat. Mishum the nafish zume, because it's very nafish zume. I think it's very fatty, or it's a very, it's practically not the kind of skin that you can actually use. It's not practically. You can't really use it. But this is a very important halacha. So the klaf can be of, it has to be from an animal which is really kosher animal, but it doesn't have to be from a shechted animal. It doesn't have to be shechted. Koshlit, it can be from an avelu trefa that he was killed, he doesn't have to be necessarily shechted. Mamash roi la'achila. Rabbi Isai, yeah. What are you referring to?
So you can use it.
So it's not, no, tomato, behemoth tomato is referring to an animal which is tome. So,
an avela is tome.
No. An avela is not, here in this context, there is, it's you're right, you're not allowed to eat it, but it's not, tomato via means, like the pasuk, like it says in the pasuk, it's an animal which is be'etzem, an animal which is kosher, is toher, an animal which is be'etzem, an animal which you can't eat, is called tome.
Yeah,
it's nothing really got to do with
it.
You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. But it's a behemoth which in theory you could.
If you lift it up, you're
tummy. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with Hilchas Tum and Tahara. So therefore, and therefore, so you think that if the, you think Hilchas Tum, you think, is that what you're asking? What about, I don't know about that. I don't know. That's something to think about. But that's not what he's referring to here. He's asking a Zaytik Shaila. I don't know. Yeah. Right. There is a bialoch over here, which is mechadish something, and I think it's not very well known, and I don't know how many halachic knock-ons there is from that. But can I just point out an interesting bialocha in Afilum and Avelo? The bialocha suggests the following. The one before that, Torah Hashem. The Mishnah, the Bialocha says in Torah Hashem, the Bialocha says, Afilu sha'az sforim she'enom tenach. Even other sforim, which are not Torah Nevi'im uksuvim, she'esh bohem she'mois, which have the name of Hashem, she'enom nichokim, which has the name of Hashem, also lichtoi val oir, you know that you write it on skin, be'im atmei of a tome animal. These are the words of the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah paskens in bi'alocha that this halacha that we're learning now is not only relevant with regards to a sefer Torah. In fact, any sefer, even if it's not Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, if it's written on something which is tome, an animal which is tome, something which is tome, is not meant to be like that if it's got Hashem's name in it. What could be Rabbi Isai, a halachic knock-on of that? I think it's a very interesting halacha. To ensure, I don't know, Rabbi Isai, can you think of something? It has to be... Oh, that's interesting. Very interesting. What if you've got a crocodile leather siddur? Fancy that. That's an interesting one. Right, you wouldn't actually be written on the actual Shem Hashem, yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Probably, although there is a machloikas achronim about that. Once the printing press came out, there was a very, very big machloikas early achronim about that. And he has many halachic, love halachic nafkaminis even nowadays about the ketusha of sforim, as to whether you can take it into a bathroom, etc. It's got many, many knock-ons and abamash this shaila. The ketusha of tfus, sforim which are written that I did tfus. So you're right, it has to do with it.
Yeah,
Right. He has to be that machlokes, mamash that machlokes. As to whether Sforim, which are printer, do they have mamash the same kedusha? Yeah, is the kedusha completely chal on printed objects? Yeah. Yeah, so what are you saying? That what? Yeah, that's right. If it's printed out, you're right.
But not
like
the kedusha, but whether there's any actual prohibition of using
Sforim
to print objects that are A4 sheets of something from a
name of... You're right. It is not what he's talking about. You're right. He's talking clearly about if it's mamash written. You're right. So could be there isn't. You're right. I hear. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's what the Mishbi Aloha Paskins Lemaisa. Okay. Continue the Shulchan Aruch and see if you gimel. Yeah. Oh, by the way, what happens? It's a machlokes that Shulchan Aruch is discussing. What happens if you've got any, I don't know how a comma that is, if you've got something written on an animal which... Say an animal which we don't normally eat. What would be, and you've got some. Would you be able to write a Megillah on that?
What animal?
So the point I want to point out that is actually a machloikas achronim has to do with the Taz and a Chaya Adam, as to whether there is a Mesoira. They're not necessarily all the animals that we eat them anyway. But there are animals which have simonic kashos, and there's many out there, the Shaila came up in the 1940s and more recently again, that the animals which were turned out that were shecht in South America, many of the best hechsherim, the shecht and animals with the mamash, the best hechsherim, they turn out that they've got all the simonic kashos, but they are slightly different. I'm not a zoologist or whatever they're called, but they're slightly different species than the regular cows. And regular cows, and even by the chickens, there was once such a child, they are slightly different. So all the simonic kashrus are there, but it's slightly different than the regular animals that we always tend, that Yidden tended to shecht for a long time. So there was a fascinating child, it's based on a previous earlier achroini, but Chaznish wrote about it as well, that could be that there is a necessity of having mamash and mesoira with regards to the animals. The truth is, for instance, a giraffe. His mamash, well, why don't we eat the giraffe? That's just very expensive. I mean, ask once, because some people say that the reason why we don't have giraffes is because you don't have a shechet. Ask once my brother-in-law is a shechet. Many people say that because you don't have a shechet. Ask once my brother-in-law, who is a shechet, said, would you know where to shechet the giraffe? He says, no problem, give it to me and I'll show you. Father? You can't miss, yeah. So the Emma says that the reason, so the point is, this is based on the Chaznish, Mamash writes it explicitly, that we all, although even the animals who have got simonic kashas, even if it's got all the simonic kashas, we don't eat the animals that don't have a clear mesoira. It's a shoychet showing in the next shoychet, and again the next shoychet, the next shoychet, the next shoychet, exactly which animals we shecht. There's very, very clear mesoiras, very, very clear traditions that the shoychetim have. And animals which don't have. So that was very relevant with regards to that. This parasha came up a few times over the last 50 years. That we actually eat animals which are slightly different species than what the Masorah may be. And there was a shayla, even some people are machmir not to eat, minority of people who don't eat the turkey because of that very reason. Because the Masorah may be more recent. You don't have a clear Masorah going back many, many doyrus. So it's a minute, most hachshirim, I'm not choshish on that, etc. But that's where it's coming from. It's coming from Chochmas Adam. And Chaznish also writes about it, that he has to have a very clear Masorah. So this will actually be relevant here as well. That if there's an animal, Jeff got simonic kashrus, but based on this achro, that you need a clear Masorah, you'd actually not be able to have a calf from an animal which hasn't got a clear Masorah. Yeah. Yeah, birds even more so, that's right. Yeah, that's right, birds even more so. Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. Pardon? Yeah, he writes about it, yeah, I don't know exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right, because now we've got a ready Messiah. Could be. Yeah, I hear. Yeah. Yeah, okay, Yud Gimel has to do with what with the shir that we heard on Thursday. Yeah, Klav Sholem, see if Yud Gimel teaches us. The Klav has to be complete. Shelo yeh bo nekovim. There shouldn't be holes in it. She'ein ha-dyoi over alof, that the dyoi, the ink, shouldn't go through. Tehainu shelo yeh ha-oiz nires b'chaluk ha-lishnayim. You may not have a letter which looks like it's separated. So, if there's a tiny hole, it may not be a problem. But certainly, if it looks like the letter is divided into two, shelo yeh, that the letter shouldn't be nires epir chaluko, divided lishtayim into two, that would be a psul. That would be a psul. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Lamed Beis tells us, lishtayim shukotan kolkach, if it's really small, as shekshemavir olav akulmas nistam anekev bedyoi, that if you have a tiny hole, that when you go over the thick liquid of ink, you go over it, nista manekev b'dyoi, you would actually cover it up the hole, ve'en nanekev nirgash b'kulmus, and you wouldn't actually feel the hole, curse me if you can write on it. So that's not a problem. So said if it's a big hole that is not covered up with the ink, and the liquid can actually close it off, and it looks like the letter is split into two, that would be a problem, says the Shulchan Aruch. And finally, see if you dial it a soifrim azizim, the hard working, the efficient soifrim. Oisin shloshim in a klafim. They make three types of klaf. Ha'av yoiser, the klaf which is the ha'av yoiser lichtu v'pasha shema. Now this, the background of this is as follows. The assumption is that if you've got a tefillin and you put the parshas of the tefillin in it, so you've got some parshas which are longer and some parshas which are smaller. If you put them in three, it's not going to look nice, because you're going to have some parts which are thicker and bigger, some parts which are smaller. It doesn't look right to have different sizes. So therefore, after having understood that, the noche is that it doesn't look nice if it's different sizes and thicknesses, says the Shulchan Aruch, ha-soifim ha-zrizim, the efficient soifim, what do they do? Oisim shloisha mine klofim. They make three types of klaf for their tefillin. What do they do? Ha-ov yoisa, the thickest one, lichtoy boy parsha shema shiktana. The parsha shema is very short. Consequently, they use a very thick klaf. Okay. Avedak mimenu, the slightly thinner one, le parsha voyim shemaya, they use for vahoya. Mishnah Berurah says it's not voyim shemaya, but they use it for the different parsha, which is slightly longer. They use a slightly thinner klaf. She yoisek dole, which is a little bit bigger. For the parshas kadesh, for the parshas vahoyok yaviyacha, she marukois, but for the parshas which are longer, klaf dak me, oisim klaf dak me, they use a thinner klaf. Uvoze yismalu abatim beshove, and by doing so, all the batim are filled equally, v'zeu noy letfilin, this makes the tefillin beautiful. So the point of this Shulchan Aruch being that it's nice to have them same size. It doesn't look right. One is very thick, one is medium, one is thinner, one is even yet thinner. It doesn't look right. So you want to achieve that they all look about the same, and therefore if you use a thinner actual klaf for the longer parsha and a thicker klaf for the shorter parsha, like this, it looks more or less equivalent, and that is a no for the tefillin, that is a hiddur. So just to recap what we covered tonight, we first started speaking about sefer tes, that the ibud has to be lishmo if it's done by a goy, it's possible according to the Rambam. Hakun to the Rosh, it's kosher if you have the yid oymed al gabov. And this is the same than the tefiyah betzitzis. The yid has to help a little bit. We then spoke about sif yud, that indentation has to be like a letter. And this is a good hechsher. This shows us that it was done by a yid, because a goy wouldn't dare doing so, not with letters. A yid would be able to, but tefiyah's ayin recognize it. A goy will not. He's not likely to make letters to make osius. Therefore, he has to have letters. If it's shapes, it's no good. We then started speaking about sifyud beis, which tells us that it has to be done. The klaf, the material of the klaf has to be from an animal which is kosher to eat. It has to be a behemah chayev ve'oif, which is tohoir, which is allowed to eat. But it doesn't matter if it's in the valley of teif, if it was killed and slaughtered as opposed to shechted, then it's fine. It's fine. You can use it. If it's from a non-kosher animal, meaning if it's a behemah which is from the species which is tomei, that you wouldn't be able to use it for the klaf, because it says in the pasuk, "Namam tiyatos Hashem eficha." We then started speaking about fish. Fish is, although it's toil, you don't use it. You don't use their skin. Seifit Gimel teaches us that it has to be complete. The cloth has to be complete. If there is significant holes, that it would appear that there's holes between the letters, that would be a problem. However, if the holes are small, that's okay. We then started speaking about Seifit Dalet, which teaches us that you're trying to ensure to make a noit filling. The noit filling is achieved if the parshas are thin and thicker to make that the end product should be about the equal size. That is what the end product is, and that would be a noit filling. This is what we covered tonight.